power to stop the events of the days and months that followed, ridiculous though that might seem. It was a couple of months after I had left London to start a new life in Scotland, almost a decade ago now, incredibly, for it is still as fresh in my memory as if it were last week. They had been happy, peaceful months of dreamless nights and busy days. I had quickly fallen into a routine of work and walks, exploring my new surroundings, filling my eyes with the views, as if I could literally absorb the beauty of the world around me. I felt myself changing physically as I shook off the confines of the city, growing stronger, fitter, standing taller. I felt it in the way my shoulders no longer tensed about my ears, the way I strode out now, walking to my own rhythm with no need to match my steps to the shuffle of the crowded streets. That day, I was on the bus, just gathering my shopping together, standing up to ring the bell. I was the only passenger, the driver and I hurtling together in silence between the confines of the dykes. He had already started to slow, in fact, knowing the place where I got off. Ringing the bell was redundant, but I reached for it anyway, city habits dying hard. The button was under my thumb when he slammed the brakes on hard. Hard enough to throw me forward, wrenching my shoulder. The bus stopped, stalled into silence, its engine ticking furiously as it cooled, the bags in my hand still swinging wildly against my legs. A hare. Just that. Lying injured on the road, a mangled mess of fur where its hind legs had been. I got out, and the bus driver, still silent, got out too. He looked at it and shook his head as if it was not what he had expected. The creature looked back at us, at him, at me, its ribcage heaving. I could not look away. There was no fear in its eyes, but something else, something watchful and knowing. It seemed to be waiting for us to act. I wanted to ask the driver to put it out of its misery, but I knew how my voice would sound. English. Foolish. He said nothing, just climbed heavily back into his bus and drove off, safe in his empty lighted box with its half-fogged windows, leaving me with the hare. I could hear the bus engine for a long time after it disappeared from view, and then there was just silence. I expected the hare to die, and yet it panted on, watching me. I looked around in vain hope that someone might come, someone who would know what to do, something swift and merciful. There was nobody. The hare waited, still alive, asking me for something I could not give. I knew I ought to kill it, a rock, a twist of the neck, dispatching it before it suffered any more. I knew I did not have the courage. It took too long to die, and it watched me the whole while. It was only when it was dead that it became pitiful in a way it had not been when it was alive. I stood there for a moment longer, and then I picked up my bags and set off on the 2-mile walk for home. You could say I had dreamt of this place. Not in the usual meaning of the phrase. I had had no waking thought of leaving London at the time, but I had gone to bed one night at a time when things had been at their lowest, and I had woken the next morning with an image in my mind of a place clothed in silence, a place that seemed familiar long after the dream had fled. I could not tell you where it had come from, this image, only that I woke rested for the first time in ages, calm and serene, as if freed from some imprisonment. A grey morning light was battling it out against the streetlights, and the sirens were starting up in the distance, if indeed they had ever stopped. But if I closed my eyes, I could almost see the dream image still lying there. A house alone among the hills. The forest behind it stretching to the horizon. A place of peace, where I might find refuge. It might have lain there till it had faded, had I not, sometime later, taken it into my head to have a brief holiday among the hills of southwest Scotland. I was on my own, for although various friends had reacted enthusiastically to the idea when it was first discussed, in the end none of them had been able to commit the time. And perhaps, looking back, I might not have made the most inviting of holiday companions. I have never had, nor needed, an extensive social life, but I had valued my small circle of friends.